Chapter 2. The younger Hawk Princess's emerald eyes bore into mine with a fiery intensity, and her normally pale cheeks were flushed a brilliant scarlet that were almost comparable to the night sky. She appeared to be somewhere between scared and angry, and my heart hurt for the girl, but there was no way I could make a request possible.
"Please, Griff," Vala whispered. "I want to go home."
"I don't think that's the best idea right now, Vala," I said. "We don't fully understand the situation at the moment, and I don't want to make a rash decision like that before we have all the answers."
"This decision isn't rash,"
the hawk shifter countered.
"There's an enormous shadow beast on the moon, and I want to return home. Please, take me back to Hawkland."
"I'm sorry, Vala," I apologized to the russet-haired princess. "I truly am. I know how frightening this all must be. Trust me, I'm frightened too. But please, take a deep breath. We'll sort this out together, I promise."
"I care for you, Griff, but do not ask me to calm down,"
Vala interrupted as tears spilled out onto her reddened cheeks.
"There is no reason to be calm right now. You brought me here to Mistral, and now I'm asking you to return me to Hawkland."
"I can't do that," I shook my head. The hawkshifter's lower lip trembled.
"If you cannot find a way to return me, I shall find another way to get there myself. How will you accomplish that?"
Freya rolled her gold-flecked brown eyes as she rested a hand on her hip.
"How will you find a passage in Mistral when you cannot speak the language? You can come with me,"
Vala proposed with widened eyes.
"Yes, Freya, you can accompany me and help us find passage back to Eerie. Vala, I cannot leave."
Freya shook her head.
"I have family, and so do I,"
Vala interjected.
"Which is why I must return at once. I will find a way. I will do whatever it takes, even if Griff is unwilling to help."
The younger hawk girl said my name with frustration, but I couldn't blame her for feeling upset with me. Tensions were high all around, so I completely understood.
"Vala, you must speak to my husband with more respect than that,"
Freya softened.
"He is only looking out for your best interests."
Tears continued to stream down the younger hawkshifter's face, and when her lower lip began to tremble, she turned her back to us in a surprisingly vulnerable way. I noticed the eyes of my mistral lovers darting between the hawkshifters and I as they tried to decipher our exchange.
"Griff, what's going on?"
Syra asked me quietly as she raised a dark eyebrow.
"Is Vala okay? Vala wants to return to the clans,"
Freya translated as she crossed her arms against her chest.
"My husband told her that wasn't the best idea, and now she's upset with him. I really don't think travel is advisable at this moment,"
Arwen said in a soft, maternal voice.
"I don't want to risk Vala being hurt, especially with how strange this entire situation is."
"I don't either,"
Nia agreed with the crimson-haired professor.
"Not to mention that if it is happening in Mistral, it has to be happening in the southern continent as well."
"What are your sister vibes saying?"
Vala demanded as she whipped back around to face her sister.
"They're in agreement with Griff and me,"
Freya sighed.
"Returning to Hawkland right now is not a good idea, Vala."
"Why do none of you care about the well-being of my homeland?"
Vala whimpered.
"Do none of you worry for Hawkland?"
"We do care," I insisted. "Trust me, Vala. We wouldn't have gone to war for Hawkland if we didn't care. We wouldn't have brought you here to Mistral if we didn't care. This isn't because we don't want you to go home or we don't want to help your homeland. The fact of the matter is, the southern clans reside under the same moon. If it's affected here, it's going to be affected there as well."
"Even more reason to return,"
Vala insisted.
"My people need me. I'm the future leader of Hawkland. I should be there to help protect my people against whatever shadow creature resides on the moon." "And how will you help?"
Freya asked her sister. and she gripped Vala's pale shoulders with the type of force that only a sibling could.
Tell me, Vala, what would you do if you were to return to Hawk Clan instantly? Would you shift into your hawk's form and fly all the way to the moon? Fight the monster yourself? Don't be ridiculous,
Vala murmured. The younger hawk princess refused to meet Freya's golden brown eyes, but I could tell the effort was taxing.
What then?
Freya pressed further.
Tell me how you would handle this situation in the southern clans. How would you protect them from an enormous shadow beast that's larger and more formidable than anything that's ever attacked Eerie Island? What would you command our people to do? Hide? Fight? Flee? Would you expect Father to follow along with your plan? Or Mother? Do you think that they would follow your authority? Why are you being so cruel to me?
Vala whispered.
I'm not being cruel.
Freya shook her hand.
Vala, I'm trying to help you see there's nothing you can do that our father probably isn't already doing. We brought you here for your protection, and we would be failing, Father, if we return you now.
But I want to help!
Vala quivered, and her large emerald eyes filled again with crystalline tears.
Why won't you let me help them?
The russet-haired shifter couldn't contain her grief any longer, and suddenly, her chest heaved with sobs. The sound was absolutely heartbreaking, and before I could react, Freya swept her sister into an embrace. Vala's arms remained limp at her sides at first, but after a moment or two, she finally gave in and hugged her sister back. The rest of us looked on as we waited for Vala to calm down, and after her sobs finally quieted, she pulled away from Freya and smoothed her hair down. I took a deep breath and then crouched down beside the petite princess and looked into her pretty eyes. Vala, your loyalty and devotion to your people is amazing, I said. One day you're going to be a wonderful leader to Hawk Clan, but sometimes as a leader you have to think of the bigger picture. I understand that right now protecting your people is all you want to do. Any rational person would want to do the same. But if we take you to Hawk Clan, and something were to happen to you on the way, your people would be without their future queen. As the heir of Hawk Clan, you sometimes have to prioritize your well-being.
Will Father and Mother be disappointed in me?
Vala asked me quietly.
I'm abandoning them when they need me the most. I don't want them to feel like I don't care about them.
Of course they won't, I replied. You were sent here to get away from the Moose Clan rebels. You're doing precisely what you were brought here to do.
Vala, this is the right decision,
Freya chimed in.
I promise you, taking the journey to Hawk Clan is not ideal right now.
Vala nodded her head as she considered my words. I could tell she wanted to continue to press on, but there wasn't much more she could say on the matter. We'd been going in circles, and I prayed to the Maker she would understand why I had the feelings I did. I only wanted to follow through with my promise to Chief Fenrir and keep the future Queen of Hawk Clan safe. The rest of my Mistral women waited with bated breaths for the Hawk Princess's response right along with me, and after Vala took a long, deep breath, her shoulders relaxed.
I trust your judgment, Griff,
the russet-haired shifter finally sighed.
I don't wish to leave my people behind, but I must do what you think is right. If you and your family think I should stay, I will stay.
Thank you, Vala, I replied. I know it's hard to take a step back, but this is the right decision until we can get some answers on what happened to the moon. Once we determine what's going on, we can make a game plan to make sure everyone else is okay. The Hawk Princess sniffled and wiped her nose with the back of her hand. And as Freya tended to her sister and helped smooth her hair and wipe away her tears, I turned to my Mistral women and gave them a simple smile to indicate everything was okay. They collectively let out a sigh of relief, but Nia's eyes remained troubled.
Griff, I have a question,
the ashen-haired mage stated.
Would the other Arkans have any information on what's happened on the moon? I know it's sort of a long shot, but would the eldest Arkans have more insight? Is my insight not good enough for you?
Sayre asked the multi-elementalist, and I shot the goddess a warning look before she could escalate the matter. Xanrith mentioned that Sarah's hypothesis was correct. I answered Nia's questions. At least they have a strong feeling it is. Whatever's on the moon gives them a strong sense of dread.
It gives me the same feeling,
Layla muttered.
I was just wondering,
Nia remarked, and she crossed her arms against her chest.
I feel like I'm grasping at air.
Trust me, I understand your frustration, I agreed with my wife. I tried to ask them more information, but they only said the same things as Sarah.
I see,
Nia sighed.
Well, I just had to ask.
It was a good question, I assured her.
So, Griff, how would you like us to proceed?
Arwen wondered as her amber eyes studied me carefully.
I don't want to waste time if there's no further information that can be gathered amongst us. I know you want to speak with the headmaster, but I worry about leaving the children unprotected. I think it would be best if some of us stayed behind.
I agree with you completely, I said, and I nodded my head as I considered the best course of action. We needed to speak with the headmaster, but with the insanity outside of our walls, I didn't want to risk my women getting hurt. Before we go speak with Sleet, I'm going to check things out, I decided. I don't want us all to rush out in case there's toxicity in the air, or if there are possible monster attacks. I'd rather have a general idea of the environment before I subject you all to it.
We're more than capable of handling ourselves,
Layla countered, and she placed a hand on her hip.
We're badasses too, Griffy.
Oh, I'm well aware, I chuckled. It would just give me a peace of mind. If anything were to happen to you all, I don't even want to entertain the idea. Besides, I can't talk to the headmaster until I figure out more about what we're going to be facing. So I need to get a better look at the moon.
I know you're the most powerful summoner there is, but, Griff, that sounds far too dangerous.
Nia shook her head vigorously.
We have no idea what the moon monster is capable of, and you don't need to take that kind of risk on your own.
I won't be on my own, I said. I'll have Sarah with me, not to mention the other Arkans. Sarah's bright yellow eyes flashed at the mention of her name, and I watched her lips become a hard, thin line as she avoided my gaze.
Until we uncover the exact reason why this happened, I'm not sure trusting the other Arkans is a great idea.
Ashla spoke up.
If Huna and Keela were responsible, they might not have your best interests in mind.
Even if they were responsible, I don't think they would be able to resist my orders, I insisted. When I claimed them in the Shadowscape, they pledged their fealty to me. They can't disobey me.
Karth did.
Layla frowned at me. Yes, but Karth had her influence magic on her side, remember?
Shit, you're right,
the petite mage allowed.
I didn't even think about that. Griff, if you could find a way to safely get a closer look, do it. But return immediately,
Arwen advised me in a cautious tone.
Don't linger longer than you need to, okay?
You've got it, I agreed with her, and I offered my women a smile. I know it's really stressful right now, but we can figure this out.
Griff, are you sure you don't want one of us to come with you?
Syra offered.
Kaelon and I can follow right behind the Snapdana, so you have backup.
I really appreciate the offer, Syra. But I need to do this on my own, I said in an apologetic tone. I would feel a lot better if you stayed here while I'm away.
Aw, Griffy wants to protect us.
Layla offered me an impish grin.
That's so sweet. I hate having to stay put while you go out there alone.
Nia sighed.
But I respect your decision. We'll stay behind and get into more suitable attire. Maybe throw together a bag or two of supplies. Make sure all of the doors and windows are locked and secure. I don't know how bad any of this is going to get, but if the sky is any indication, we need to make the house as secure of a fortress as possible.
Well, I'm certainly glad we elected to stock up on pantry items and stashed them down in the cellar,
Aaron remarked in a thoughtful voice.
No kidding,
Syra agreed with the orange-haired mimic.
Our preparations are finally coming in handy. While we're preparing, Arwen and I can try to consult the books,
Ashla suggested.
I don't know if they'll be helpful at all, but...
That's a good idea. I complimented her. And then I had an idea of my own. What if I left Xanrath and Karth here to help you with the book's translations?
Karth?
Ashla repeated back to me, and her eyes widened with shock. She and Xan know the most about the texts, I pointed out to the curly-haired summoner. They might be able to help you figure something out. And besides, with Xan here, Karth won't be able to pull any funny business, so you'll be completely safe.
I trust Xan, Arwen confirmed. And she would be helpful to have around. We've made great strides with the texts, but having a couple extra sets of eyes wouldn't be a bad thing at all.
I think I'll leave Utuni and Miralee here as well, I decided. They're badasses when they combine forces, and I'll feel better knowing you have an extra measure of protection.
Will they be able to behave?
Freya asked in a soft voice. Her golden brown eyes were weary as they shifted over to me, and I gave her a reassuring look. They will, I promised. My women shared a brief look of concern, but they all came around to the idea faster than anticipated.
Griff, I want you to be careful, Arwen advised. We don't know how the moon will affect monsters, rifts, anything, and we don't know if the tentacles will lash out further.
I will, I promised the crimson-haired mage. I promise I'll be as careful as I can.
I'm not a huge fan of this idea, Ashla assessed. I don't have an alternative suggestion, but I just needed to say I don't think this is safe.
I know you're worried, I said, but I can't just sit back while there's a monster threatening to destroy our home. The sooner I can assess what we need to do to defeat it.
I know.
The umber-skinned ice mage offered me a thin-lipped smile.
Just come back to me, summoner. I can't raise this baby on my own.
The former mercenary's hand rested on her stomach as she spoke, and my eyes flew down to the small bump. Ashla's belly had finally started to grow, and the slight curve of her torso made my heart swell with pride. The ice mage was pregnant with my child, and the little reminder that we were going to be parents put everything in perspective for me. I needed to exercise caution, but I also needed to be sure my children had a safer world to grow up in.
Me either.
Arwen chimed in, and the crimson-haired mage gave me a small smile. The professor and I had recently become engaged, and we were also set to have a child together. I promise I'll come home in one piece, I assured the gorgeous mages.
You'd better.
Nia raised an eyebrow, and I could tell she was trying to stifle a smile as she spoke.
I love you, farm boy.
I love you too, Lady Kennefic. I smiled back at my ashen-haired wife, and then I turned to assess the rest of my women. I love the rest of you as well. So very much.
Be safe, Griffy,
Layla whispered.
Yes, my love, be cautious,
Freya advised me.
We need you to return to us.
I will, I assured the Hawk Princess, and then I reached into my consciousness and released the wards that surrounded the Arkans. Karth, Xan, Utuni, and Miralee, I need you to come out here.
As you wish,
Utuni purred.
We are at your command, master,
Miralee chimed in. A tingling sensation spread through me as the goddess's marks left my body, and swirls of blue-black mist spread throughout the bedroom. I saw Vala rush to Freya and wrap her arms around the older Hawk Princess for protection. And Freya whispered something to her sister and stroked her hair as the four Arkans appeared before us.
How can we be of service, master?
Xan asked as her violet eyes swept the room. Her azure flame wings blazed behind her, and Vala flinched with every crackle. I need you all to stay behind while I go out and investigate the area, I replied to the umber-skinned Arkan. You and Karth will help Arwen and Ashla with some research, while Utuni and Miralee will assist the others with whatever else needs to be done.
Research?
Karth echoed. The green-skinned Arkan narrowed her russet eyes and studied me with a calculated gaze.
As in the book you stole from my palace?
Don't be bitter, Karth.
Utuni laughed cruelly at her younger sister. The snake goddess ran a long, nailed hand through her black hair and cocked an eyebrow.
Your demise was long ago.
It's time to let it go. Yeah!
Miralee chuckled as she crossed her arms against her ample chest and flicked her plus jaguar's tail.
We're all on the same team, Karth.
All of you need to get serious, I commanded them in a stern voice. I need you to do anything my women ask of you. While I'm gone, they're your masters. Whatever they need, listen to them. Protect them as you would me. I'm counting on you.
We will keep them safe,
Zan promised me in her honey-smooth voice, and her full lips curled into a smile so beautiful, it nearly brought me to my knees.
I promise you, Griff, no harm will come to your family. They are my family, too.
Karth? I asked as I looked at the beautiful and fierce woman.
Yes?
She sighed, and then nodded at Zan.
I will assist. Yes, I am yours. And I have no more desire to fight those you love.
Thank you, I replied. And then I turned to Sarah. We need to get going.
Come on, everyone, let's give them some space,
Arwen announced to my other lovers.
There's much to do. Zan, Karth, would you mind following me up to my study? All of our materials are currently up there.
We are at your command, Miss Hamner,
Karth replied in a professional tone. And I gave her a grateful smile. My mistral women gave me a round of smiles and goodbyes before they left the room and headed upstairs.
Why were Viopa and I not assigned to help your women?
Fi's childish voice rang out in my mind. The angelic goddess was prone to whining when things didn't go her way, and I knew this was one of those times where she was ready to throw a fit. I need you to stay with me as backup. I tried to smooth things over. Sure, I have Sarah with me, but I need you and Viopa just in case something goes terribly wrong on this recon mission. Fi replied shortly.
That doesn't sound great. Besides, they get to stay behind closed walls while we have to go out and face that entity on the moon. I can't say I'm too thrilled by the idea.
Fi, come on, I sighed. I didn't mean any offense by not leaving you here. I want you with me because I know you can handle whatever's thrown at us. If I'm going to take on this entity and figure out how and why and where it's come from in the first place, I'm going to need to be surrounded by a team of brave goddesses.
Is the extra room not delightful for you, sister?
Viopa finally spoke up in a bored tone.
We don't have to share the space with anyone else but Huna and Keela. And they're so tucked away, it's almost as if they aren't here. I suppose,
Fi mused. Come on, I soothed. Show me I can count on you.
Of course you can,
the white-winged Arkin finally agreed with me in a chipper voice.
All right, let's go kick this thing's ass so we can get back here and revisit a chat about baby-making. I want my turn soon and...
Without another word, I grabbed my bandolier from the floor, fastened it around my torso, and then perched on the edge of the bed to pull on my boots. Sarah scooted away from me and stood in the corner as she waited for me to finish dressing, and once I was completely ready, I offered the dark-winged Arkin a raised eyebrow and inclined my head toward the door. Let's go, I said, and after I peered out the window one last time, I left the room and closed the door behind me. Sarah and I traveled down the spiral staircase, and my legs shook with every step. Anticipation and adrenaline coursed through my veins, and even though I was scared to get out into the field, I was also ready to take on my next opponent. I hated the part of me that craved battle, but it was just another aspect of my personality I had to accept about myself. I still wasn't ready to fully accept the Beastmaker moniker, but it likely had an impact on my bloodlust, and I had to start seeing the positives of it. Before we reached the foyer, I heard Sarah's footsteps stop behind me, and sure enough, when I turned around, the dark-haired Arkin was frozen in place. Her yellow eyes were fixated on the windows above us, and the ruby light bathed her in an unnerving glow.
Griff, please,
the Arkin whispered.
Please don't make me go out there.
You're the only one who can come with me, I reminded her. I'm not sure how the moon would affect the other Arkins, but until I have more answers, you're the only one who can accompany me on this trip. I need you, Sarah.
You don't need me.
Sarah shook her head vigorously.
If it weren't for me, this wouldn't have happened in the first place. I'll only cause more of a problem if I join you.
Stop blaming yourself for this, I insisted. It's not helping us get any further. And besides, if there's anyone to blame, it's me. If what we did has any bearing on what happened to the moon, then my seat is to blame. I knew there was a risk, but I allowed it anyway.
I don't blame you for what happened.
Sarah shook her head.
You're a mortal man. I'm a goddess who's lived much longer than you.
Technically, I'm a lot older than I look, I reminded her, and I attempted to give the Arcan a cheeky grin. But Sarah wasn't having it. Look, instead of dwelling on the possibility that our actions caused this, we need to figure out how to put a stop to it. I can't do it without you, Sarah. Besides, if something goes wrong, you can always portal us away. The Arcan took a deep breath, and her chest heaved as she considered my words.
Griff,
I don't want to give you orders, but I will if I have to, I interrupted the dark-winged goddess. We're running out of time, Sarah, and I need to protect my family. I need you to cooperate with me.
You don't have to command it,
Sarah decided.
I'll do as you ask, Griff.
Okay. I nodded, and then we continued back down the stairs. My heart thudded faster as we crossed the foyer, and I took one last deep breath. It was time to face this fucker. When I opened the door, my nostrils were invaded by the putrid stench of sulfur, and the smell was so pungent, I nearly fell over.
Ugh, Maker, that's awful, I hissed.
My nose scrunched up as I tried to get away from the smell, but it was unavoidable. It was nearly as cloying as the scent that wafted off of one of Keela's summons, the Regarret. But this smell was more like brimstone than decay. I closed the door behind me as quickly as possible so the offensive odor couldn't seep into the house, pinched my nose shut, and then strode off the stoop and made my way out to the yard.
Snapdarner?
Sarah called back to me as she took lengthy strides.
Yep,
I confirmed. The goddess's monster was capable of great speeds, and it was nimble enough to weave in and out of any obstacle or obstruction, so it was the ideal mount for us to utilize. Once we reached the far corner of the lawn, Sarah snapped her slender fingers, and her snapdarner appeared in a burst of thick blue-black smoke. The insectoid monster resembled an enormous dragonfly with iridescent wings, and its many eyes studied us curiously as it awaited orders. Sarah approached her summons first and placed a hand on the large creature tenderly. The Arcan whispered something indistinguishable and then swung her long, slender leg over and mounted the monster. Once she was secure on the back of her summons, she reached her hand out to me, and I gratefully accepted it and climbed on the back of the snapdarner in front of Sarah. The dark-haired beauty wrapped her arms around my waist, and after the snapdarner beat its wings, we took off into the foul-scented air. The sight of the sky from my window had been terrifying, but now that we were actually in it, it was even scarier. The deep blood-red color of the moon was even richer in person, and a chill ran down my spine as I studied its strange glow. How in the Maker's name had this happened? I'd done everything I was supposed to do. I'd tracked down the ciphers, gone on countless missions, liberated the southern continent, resided in the Shadowscape for a week as a prisoner, stolen the book that contained the information about enchantments, bested not one, but 9 monster goddesses, and yet none of it was enough to keep an apocalypse at bay. I didn't want to let myself drown in the misery of it all, but it was hard to see a positive side in this situation. I was such a fool to believe that once the Arcans were captured, my struggles would be over. I forced myself to refocus. There was no use in feeling sorry for myself when there were more pressing matters. We soared up the hill and over to the Academy of Arlay, and a pang of emotion rose up in my chest as I caught sight of the mages bustling about the grounds. The students below were outfitted in everything from their class robes to their pajamas, and I felt sorry for them. No doubt the moon had plunged everyone into a state of chaos, and I wondered how many of them would think I was responsible for this. When I was a student, I'd been subject of many a rumor, and I was certain the appearance of the moon and sky would only add to my scandalous reputation. Not that it mattered much, of course. I had much larger problems to deal with than the gossip of young mages. Bursts of elemental magic rose into the air as the mages prepared for battle, and I sent a silent plea for them to reserve their mana. I didn't know what Sleet and Grand Mage Kennefic had in mind, but I had a feeling the mages needed all of the energy they could muster. After the Snapdarner circled the grounds, I decided to check on the rest of the enclave before we breached the walls to examine the moon. If the academy full of magic-equipped mages was in that kind of disarray, I could only imagine how the enclave's civilians were faring, and I needed to make sure that they were being attended to. The Snapdarner beat its wings, let out a small chirp, and then headed in the direction of the city. Sarah pressed her body against me, and the warmth of her soft skin breached through my heavy jacket. The Arkin rested her cheek against my back, and the sensation was comforting. The moment was ruined when we soared over the hill. The entire enclave was in chaos, even more so than it was at the academy. Smoke billowed high into the air from unseen locations, and the screams of the civilians below rang out like a dark, eerie chorus. It was as if the entirety of the enclave had decided to come out of their homes and amass in the square, and as I watched them to rush to and fro like cattle, I considered what to do. I'd flown out here to get a better look at the moon, but I couldn't just let these unarmed civilians go uninformed and unprotected. "Sarah, we need to dip lower," I commanded the Arkin. "Those people down there need us.
Griff, I know your heart hurts for them,"
Sarah said in my ear.
"But there's nothing you can do at the moment. You may be the leader of the Arkans and the most powerful mage in the entire human realm, but by human standards, you aren't their leader. You must wait until your superiors give the official command."
"Am I just supposed to ignore them?" I pressed as I watched people run in aimless circles.
"For now, yes,"
the dark-haired goddess replied.
"Your headmaster and the Grand Mage will have an idea of how to proceed. You cannot save everyone on your own, especially when we need to focus on the moon."
"It's not like you to say things like that," I scoffed. "You're always going on about how I need to seize dominion and all of that, command the human armies myself instead of awaiting orders. But now, when I want to do it, you tell me not to?"
"You don't need to seize it,"
Sarah protested.
"Now that the Arkans are yours, the humans will come to you. You will be revered for your power. I'm certain of it."
"I appreciate the confidence you have in me," I thanked my lover. "I just hope it's warranted."
"There's no reason not to be confident."
I felt the Arkan's shoulders shrug.
"You are the Beastmaker, the human who was prophesied to rule. Once I believed the Beastmaker to be a conqueror, one who will leave trails of bodies and blood in their wake. But now I know the Beastmaker. The true ruler of the realm is more than just a killer. He's a warrior meant to fight against any darkness and rule his people with intelligence. Right now, you must focus on the darkness."
"That's all very diplomatic," I sighed, though I knew Sarah was right. As much as I wanted to act on my own, I needed to wait for Headmaster Sleet or the Grand Mage to issue orders. If I wanted to be the best leader I could be, I needed to do things according to my head and not my heart. A piercing alarm suddenly cut through the symphony of screams and shouts, and I watched as civilians below us came to a standstill. A pounding headache bloomed behind my eyes as the shrill alarm pierced my eardrums, and I tightened my hold around the Snapdarner in response.
"Oh, Maker, that's intense,"
I groaned as Sarah's grip around my waist tightened.
"I've never heard an alarm like this before."
"The mortals are certainly responding to it, though."
The dark-winged Arkin pointed a long-nailed finger below us.
"I can understand their terror. I feel so much of it."
The mass of people had frozen in their tracks, and moments later, I watched as each of them retreated to their homes. I let out a sigh of relief. There were still plenty of stragglers, but as long as a majority of the civilians took shelter, they had a chance at staying safe. "I guess you were right about Sleet and the Grand Mage having things under control," I allowed as I watched droves of people leaving the square.
Of course I was,
Sarah laughed lightly, and her chin rested on my shoulder.
They're going to be fine, Griff. I'm sure the Enclave has had a plan for this type of thing for a while.
You think they prepared for a random apocalypse? I wondered with a raised eyebrow.
No, but I think after all of the attacks that have threatened Varley, it's not a surprise an alarm was created.
Sarah sighed against me.
We need to breach the walls and get a closer look at the moon.
I was surprised to hear the Arkan so level-headed after she'd displayed such fear when the moon had shifted, and I wondered if she was trying just to be brave for me. Even if she was, I was proud of her for prioritizing duty over her discomfort. You're right, I agreed with her. After I gave the village square one last look, I gave a nonverbal command, and then the Snapdarner took off at an even faster pace than earlier. As we descended, I commanded the Snapdarner to weave through the various airships that zoomed through the air at lightning speed. Some remained tethered in place, but others devoted to military transport flew toward the academy, and I tried to stay out of their way as much as possible. Finally, the orange walls that protected the Enclave filled my vision, and the Snapdarner flew upward until it was nearly parallel with the structure. I tightened my hold around the monster, and before I knew it, we were out of the Enclave. Now that there was nothing to obstruct my vision, I found myself in awe of the expanse of ruby sky. The night was entirely starless, without even a cloud in sight, and an unnerving sense of dread flooded me once again. This was all so undeniably eerie.
I hate this,
Sarah whispered behind me, and she tightened her grip around my waist as she began to shake. I know, I said, and I placed a hand on top of hers. I do too. As we soared over the dark green lands beyond the Enclave, I got the sense that even the Snapdarner seemed uncomfortable by the shifted landscape. The further we flew from Varley, the more timidly its large translucent wings beat, and we began to lose speed. Hey, 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 I whispered to the Snapdarner. It's okay. That thing won't hurt you, I promise. I needed everyone to remain calm as we scoped out the situation, so I sent a wave of reassurance to the monster. The dragonfly was reluctant at first, but moments later it let out a low trill in response, and we resumed our normal pace. Finally, we were clear of any obstacles and obstructions, and I commanded the Snapdarner to hover in place and fixed my gaze on the moon. I narrowed my eyes to try to get a better view, though the effort did little to help me. The moon was still far enough away that I could only see the lines of black that flared around the surface. The long, spindly appendages surrounding the ruby-tinted orb reminded me of a monster I'd fought in a village called Adorna, a fearsome beast known as the Vincrimsel. The monster was one of Karth's herd of mega-sized monsters, and it consisted of long, tangled, vine-like appendages of a similar color to the ones on the moon. I didn't know if the pair were of any relation, but without any type of feature, it was hard to make any other comparisons. Suddenly, I had an idea. I freed one of my hands from the Snapdarner and carefully reached into my bandolier. I retrieved a pale blue wing-shaped essence crystal and crushed it in the palm of my hand. My Vinghund manifested itself in the air and let out a surprised bark as it looked around. I need to borrow your sight, girl, I addressed my canine-like summons. The Vinghund had pristine vision finer than my own, and if I were to get a better look at the moon, I needed a little enhancement of my senses. So I reached through the bond between my monster and I and concentrated. To my surprise, the effort was barely even noticeable, and my vision grew crystal clear almost instantly. Whoa, I remarked as I peered around. My vision had been well enough before, but now that I shared the intense focus of the Vinghund, my human eyeballs may as well have been coated in mud.
The other Arkans have made your powers stronger, Sarah pointed out to me. You'll find your abilities come to you with minimal effort now. In fact, you probably didn't need to summon your Vinghund to begin with. You could have simply manifested her abilities with a single thought.
Holy shit, are you serious? I asked the monster goddess.
You're the Beastmaker, Sarah reminded me.
You're stronger than any mortal man. The fact that you were able to capture 9 goddesses within your mind alone is only proof of that.
I guess that's true enough, I realized. Then I glanced over at my Vinghund and gave her a small smile. If that's the case, I won't exhaust you more than you need to be. Go ahead and rest.
My Vinghund gave an affectionate bark and then disappeared as I recalled her to my hand. I replaced her essence crystal in my belt, and then turned my attention back to the moon. Much to my delight, my vision remained enhanced, and I let out a small laugh.
Wow, I breathed. This will definitely come in handy later.
Can you see the moon monster with more clarity?
Sarah asked.
It's a lot clearer, but we could get a bit closer, I decided.
Then it shall be done,
the Arkin confirmed. And after a clicking sound left her mouth, the Snapdarner flapped its wings and took us higher into the thickly scented air. As we ascended, I fixed my gaze on the blood-red surface of the moon. I narrowed my eyes and zeroed in on one of the tentacles. Any resemblance I'd likened to the Vin Crimsel was lost the moment my eyes focused on the tendrils. The color was nearly impossible to describe in words. It was black, but not in the way I had perceived it before. It wasn't merely black. It was completely devoid of light. Even the most advanced pitch-black darkness couldn't compare to the void-like shade of the tentacle. The tentacles writhed and pulsed, almost like a plant at the bottom of the ocean, and the number of tendrils had increased significantly since the first look I'd gotten at the moon. It was nearly impossible to count each individual appendage, and I soon lost track after I began to try.
Maker, that thing is super fucking freaky,
I assessed, fully knowing that my statement was entirely obvious, but I didn't have the right words to say it. Whatever was on the surface of the moon wasn't anything like another creature we'd ever faced. And as I stared at its writhing tentacles, I couldn't help but wonder if the monster's presence had any bearing on the appearance of the moon.
It is, Sarah sighed. I feel like it's watching our every move.
I wonder how you can sense that and yet not have any indication of what it is, I mused.
I wish I knew as well, Sarah agreed. From the moment it appeared, I just felt its eyes upon me, like it was judging me for my transgressions. I can feel its hatred. For me, for you, but especially for the child growing inside of me.
You are sure?
I asked as I studied the tendrils. What if the monster just happened to show up right after we made love? It wouldn't surprise me after everything that's happened in the past 2 years.
I don't know, Master,
Sarah whispered.
The timing of it all is too precise, and these emotions...
The moon was already in a strange place before we had sex, I pointed out to the dark-winged goddess. It looked closer than I'd ever seen it. Maybe we just so happened to get together on the same day that the monster was set to arrive.
That all feels too convenient, Sarah said. I don't know,
I know it seems unlikely, I replied. But other than what you're thinking, it's the only other theory I have right now. The Snapdarner hovered in place as I continued to figure out more about this enemy. My eyes followed the long appendages, and I tried to figure out what they were doing. Any normal monster would have sent their tentacles below to try to swipe at their opponents, but whatever was on the moon seemed to have a different idea. Its writhing tendrils were outstretched, like a parasite looking for something to attach to.
Perhaps it is searching for something to attach to,
a small voice spoke up in my consciousness. The high-pitched musical quality of it surprised me, and I recognized the tone of it instantly. Keela, I addressed the skeleton-faced Arkin, do you know anything about this creature?
Not exactly,
the goddess lilted in a calm and slightly amused tone.
But there's a familiarity I can't deny.
Have you seen it before?
I'm searching through my memories, but cannot find a clear image.
Keela sighed.
It's more intuition-based, like the others. As Sarah said, I can feel its hatred.
You definitely don't sound scared like the others, I observed. Why is that? Something about the goddess's calm tone bothered me, and I wanted to get to the bottom of it before the Arkin could deceive me. Keela had pledged herself to me,
but I still wasn't certain I could trust her, and the fact that she wasn't as horrified as her sisters was a major red flag.
I am not afraid,
the goddess replied.
Though my reasoning isn't what you'll want to hear. Not that it's any surprise by the look of my face, but my power is most aligned with death and energy magics. I don't know the identity of this beast, but I sense we're kindred spirits in that way, so I don't fear it in the way my sisters do.
I suppose that makes sense, I allowed, though I was still skeptical. But what do you mean about it searching for something to attach to?
With how much distance there is between us and the moon, I can't be certain,
Keela replied.
I just think there's some truth to your comparison. I can't explain it, but I have the sense it needs to feed.
It's like a spider trying to catch us in its web, I mused as I studied the sight with a mixture of fear and awe.
What would it want with the planet?
Sarah whispered.
Why does it wish to devour us in such a way?
I don't know, I said. But if we don't figure it out soon, I fear what will come. I prided myself on my ability to come up with a plan on the fly, but for the first time, I had no idea how to proceed. Normally, I would summon a monster, an Arcan, something that would help me accomplish my goal. How was I supposed to take on a foe so large and so out of reach? Short of breaching the atmosphere, it felt like there was little I could do to take the entity on.
I will advise you, Griff. This monster is already powerful,
Keela warned me.
More powerful than you can imagine. It's going to take all of your power and ours to defeat it. And even then, it may not be enough.